Hey, Love Church fam, this is Pastor Caleb. Before we get into this week's message, I just want to say this. God loves you so much, and so do we. And we are believing that God's best is ahead of you as you lean into God's word today.
Okay, so today we're going to be finishing up with part three of David's Tabernacle. The two previous teachings, we went over many scriptures, as you all know, and discussed the following. That there's a scarlet thread woven from Genesis to Revelation, symbolic of the blood of Jesus. That all scripture is inspired when the Holy Ghost moved upon men of old. And it takes the same Holy Ghost to discern the word of God, to rightly divide the word of truth. We went over that teaching. Can also, when you come into the house of God, you may hear a lot of different things, a lot of different doctrines at different times. So that teaching can be like a buffet. You might be able to digest some of it. You might just want the sincere milk of the word. But don't throw it out, set it back on a shelf, save it for later. We also discussed that we are created for his pleasure, that we are commanded to praise God, to bow down in complete submission to God in worship, to bring an offering into his courts. David's tabernacle occurred between tabernacle of Moses and Solomon's temple. That in the process of moving the ark, it rested, if I get it right here, Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And he was very blessed. And how that, it was interesting seeing that Obed-Edom was a Gentile, not even a Levite, and that when the ark was moved again, Obed-Edom went with them. And later he became listed as a gatekeeper, and eventually he became like an adopted Levite. That signifies that every tribe and nation will be represented worshiping before God Almighty in heaven, which is a foreshadowing of things to come. That's what David did locally. God is doing globally, and I believe he will do eternally. Also, that what David seemed out of place at the time, it was like 33 years out of the New Testament placed in the middle of the Old Testament. And it's interesting, again, that Jesus' ministry on earth was 33 years. Davidic worship was established, and it's for today. It's heavenly, eternal worship. And in the New Testament, we become the temple, the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. So moving forward, let's look again at the two key scriptures on this. Amos 9:11, the tabernacle of David that has fallen, I will build it as in the days of old. Acts 15:14 through 18, and to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles. So David's tabernacle was missional. And in the New Testament, we are called living stones, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Essentially, we become the tabernacle of David. In 2 Chronicles 29, we see Nathan the prophet was there. If you've read the story of David, you know Nathan was quite prevalent. So how did David seemingly get away with this during the Old Testament, the Old Covenant? Apparently, David at some point had a divine prophecy or revelation of this. We don't really know. Again, Nathan the prophet was around, or perhaps he had a dream or a vision. If we compare Revelation chapter 4 and 5 with 1 Chronicles, some things are paralleled. Okay, the throne is in the center of the heavenly throne room, just as the ark was in the center of Jerusalem and David's tabernacle. Everything was centered around God. The elders in the throne room offered sacrifices and musical praise and intercessory prayer as a ministry to the Lord, just as David's tabernacle introduced intercessory worship into the priesthood of Israel. John describes the prayers of the saints as incense before God in heaven. David said that his prayers would be like incense before God. The four living creatures worshiped day and night, and David established worship day and night with four leaders, which seems to correspond. 24 worshiped around the throne in heaven. David established 24 leaders. Thousands of angels in heaven sang day and night. David established 4,000 praisers. So at the same time, they had antiphonal or responsive worship. It was recited by two groups, as seen in stories with Ezra and Nehemiah. As a pattern throughout Scripture, there's always a throne inside a tabernacle. The ark is called a throne. It was in the middle of the tabernacle. God's throne is seen in heaven, surrounded with praise, the heavenly environment of our divine King Jesus. Psalm 22:3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. 2 Samuel 6:17. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place, in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So we got to remember that in this day, in this time, we still had the tabernacle of Moses around. They didn't abolish it. They didn't do away with it. They were still doing sacrifices. They were still obeying the law. But in David's tabernacle, it was more focused not so much on animal sacrifice, but on music, worship, praise. When we worship, the environment of his presence is created. When the king comes, his kingdom comes with him. The domain of the king surrounds him. God inhabits our praises, and he is glorified. Things that oppose God start getting confronted. People in captivity or bondage are set free from devils. And we all know that Jesus cast out many devils, right? The sick or broken get healed. The lost are drawn to him and get saved when God's kingdom is moving forward. Bondage and pain are replaced with freedom and joy. This is very powerful. Jesus' throne is in the midst of us. It's not just singing songs. His kingdom is present. We talked about when we worship, there's a river that flows through this place. We talked about how you can participate. You can get in the presence of God or not. You can just sit there like a stone in the brook for hundreds and thousands of years. If you break it open, it's dry on the inside. But we don't want you to have a stony, cold, hard heart. We want you to have a heart of love. I know this brother's got a heart of love, as many in here do. But we want you to have a heart of love that's open, tender, warm to God, that will open up and let God come in and have his way in our lives. In Isaiah 16:5, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. God's word uses Zion to describe this. Jerusalem is Zion. The mount was called Zion. In Zion, God is praised and worshiped. In Zion, God is king. He rules and reigns in Zion. This is known as priestly and kingly dimensions. The priestly part is our prayers and praise. The kingly is the advancement of the kingdom of God, where God rules supremely in his divine presence. This is imperative to realize as we worship. I just want to remind you that we live in a voice-activated kingdom. Can we really say that we're drawing near to God so that he can draw near to us by keeping silent? That came out in today's worship. You got to open up your mouth. No prayer, no praise. Are we really drawing near to God? Are we really seeking him? These things show us that God's government flows from the midst of worship. That which is kingly flows from that which is priestly. God hears the prayers of his people and acts on their prayers and speaks his decrees. In the center of the universe, God is ruling with his sons and daughters all around him in worship. It's continual. This is where God releases his power. Today, Christians are coming to God in Christ. In Hebrews 12:22, but ye are coming to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. Zion on earth and Zion in heaven are the same thing. It's the presence of God with God's throne in the midst of his people who are worshiping him. It's the same reality on earth as it is in heaven. This is what King David established with David's tabernacle. Psalms 22:3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Let's look at scriptures in God's word on Melchizedek. If you want to reference this later, check out Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 22. In Genesis 14:18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Abraham met with Melchizedek and so to tithe to Melchizedek. Psalm 110:4, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Revelation 1:6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Revelations 5:9-10, and they sung a new song, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Melchizedek was the king of Salem, a priest to God. Salem became Jerusalem. Salem means peace, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 9:6, it reads, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the Prince of Peace. It seems apparent that Melchizedek, being a king and priest, was a foreshadow of Jesus, our king and high priest, and also a foreshadow of David being a king and priest before God. Back to Psalms 110, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This speaks of Jesus ruling in the midst of Zion, a king and a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So in Psalm 110, we see it's a psalm of David with Melchizedek and the Lord Jesus all mentioned in one scripture at the same time together. So what is the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek? If we can understand what the order of Melchizedek means, we can understand what was happening at David's tabernacle and understand why he was doing what he was doing and how he got away with it and didn't get in any trouble. There are two priesthoods that you can see in the Bible clearly. The book of Hebrews shows the old covenant priesthood of Israel and talks about Mount Sinai and Mount Zion, contrasting these two. It also talks about the new covenant called the priesthood of Melchizedek, which could be called the heavenly priesthood. When David set up his tabernacle, the old tabernacle of Moses was still up and functioning in the town of Gideon, but it didn't have the ark inside of it. And some of the Levitical priests were still following the law, offering burnt offerings and sacrifices in the Mosaic tabernacle. Because God commanded it, they were obeying the Lord. So the law was still being obeyed, but there was no ark in the tabernacle of Moses. Meanwhile, by the way, I just want to remind everyone, in the tabernacle of David, there was no veil. It was pretty much continual worship. Everybody that was in there, just as now, we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus' body, through his sacrifice, removed the veil, the partition that was between us and the mercy seat. Hallelujah. While the ark was in the tabernacle of David, it's like seeing the old covenant Mount Zion priesthood and the new covenant Mount Zion priesthood at the same time. This was showing one was temporary and one was eternal. It's like God was keeping up with Israel and at the same time foreshadowing Jesus coming and the eternal kingdom. Remember, the old covenant was made just with Israel, just for the natural Jews. It wasn't made for everyone. So thank God that nowadays there's neither difference between Jew nor Greek. And we all have the freedom to come into his presence and enjoy his salvation, the precious blood of the Lamb. It's so awesome. So the new covenant was made for all, whosoever will believe in Jesus. In the old covenant, the law and the Levitical priesthood, which was for a limited time for Israel until they see the Messiah come. And in the new covenant on Mount Zion, there's another priesthood functioning, and it's the heavenly priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. In the old covenant, the Levitical priests offered animal sacrifices to the Lord. At Mount Zion, sons of God ministered to the Lord, not just sons of Levi. It's for sons and daughters that call upon the name of the Lord. So now, instead of the tabernacle of Moses, we are the tabernacle. We are the temple of God. We are the new David's tabernacle, where the blood of Jesus offered an atonement for our sin, and where we offer spiritual sacrifices of praise. David's tabernacle was not disobeying the law again, because he was not operating in the old covenant. He was looking to heaven, where God's government flows from praise and worship and spirit and truth, from an eternal priesthood. We've went over a lot the last three teachings on this. I know it's a lot of the word. I appreciate everybody listening and giving attention to God's word. But we're going to go ahead and finish this up today. And if you don't mind, Ketter and Lyle, can you come back and play a little for us? Certainly appreciate it if you could come on up. Yeah. So thankful for their service here today. It's such a blessing. We're going to finish up with a few more scriptures here while they play, and then we're going to have a little more worship. In Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In Hebrews 7:12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. We're not in the Old Testament. We're not under the Old Covenant anymore. We're in the New Testament of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In John 4:23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for inhabitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I hope we've all have a deeper understanding of New Testament worship today. I believe it's not just New Testament worship. I believe it's eternal worship. God's word is very clear. Jesus loves you. His call is to reconciliation, man's restoration to a glorious relationship with our Heavenly Father through the blood and atonement and righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening. If you need anything at all, we're here to serve you. Please reach out. We love you guys so much. God bless.